You are listening to the Business Society Podcast with Melissa Houston, CPA, financial strategist for CEOs, and a Forbes.com columnist. The Business Society community is where business owners come together to learn about real business, common problems, and real solutions. Are you a successful business owner who is now ready to learn how to increase your profit margins so that you can keep more money in your pocket and build your personal net worth? You are in the right place. With over 20 years of experience working with business owners, I share with you real advice that will help you increase the profit in your business and build your net worth. I know you're a genius at what you do, regardless of what profession you're in, and I'm here to help you make sense of the money and other pressing business issues. Have a business problem? We'll find real business solutions. Sales expert Ryan Doughty helps 7- and 8-figure CEOs generate daily sales on demand without more of their time by building and training high-performing sales teams. Ryan is passionate about helping successful business owners take back control of the revenue in their business, their time, and their freedom by building a profitable sales team. With her business partner, Kelly Roach, they are on a mission to free CEOs from the role of salesperson in their business. Ryan wants to change the lives of CEOs by giving them back their time, financial peace, and the ability to multiply their revenue through a high-performing, empowered sales team. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the Business Society Podcast. I am so excited to have you here today.
Hey, Melissa, I'm excited to be here.
Well, I am definitely going to pick your brain today because this is the first time, or no, maybe the second time that we've had somebody on the podcast that talks about sales. And sales are super important. And I find there's not enough information out there for entrepreneurs about how to generate sales, bring leads in. I don't know about a lot of listeners, but sometimes I feel very icky about the whole process and how to overcome that. Because, you know, every entrepreneur has to dabble into sales at some point. And if I had honestly thought about it before I started my business, I probably would have ran the other direction. So we're here today to talk to all the listeners, give them confidence, maybe give me a little confidence when it comes to sales, and to talk about your Social Sellers Academy. So welcome. Okay. So one thing that's sort of a new terminology in the online space is when you talk about a social seller, a lot of people are still not familiar with that concept. Can you explain to us a little bit what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love your description of like, had I known that entrepreneurship was a sales job, I probably wouldn't have decided to do it like you and everybody else. So thank you for saying that.
I figured I wasn't alone on that.
You're not at all. So what is a social seller? So, you know, in traditional business, right, not online entrepreneurship, there are inside sales, right, which is people that sell primarily via the phone. There's outside sales, which are people who go out into the world and shake hands and meet people. And then now we have social sales. So to me, Melissa, social selling is just leveraging social media as our primary connection tool. Right. So some people are like, well, does it mean selling in the DMs? I'm like, not necessarily. Right. Like, we have a lot of clients selling high ticket solutions that are pulling their people from DM to sales call. Right. Like getting them onto a Zoom call or a phone call. We have some clients that do sell low ticket things and want to sell in the DMs. Right. So for me, social selling is just the tool that we're leveraging to build connection and build relationships. But then how we're actually selling the service in the DM via a webinar, via a launch, via a Zoom call is really all the same. So it's just the tool that we're using to build connection.
That's a really interesting concept because I honestly thought that it was all happening in the DMs.
We hear that a lot. And a lot of it does happen in the DMs, right? But like a lot of our sales system, you know, we teach a qualification process inside of the academy, but that can be done via what we call a connect call, which is just like, hey, you know, Melissa, thanks so much for being part of our Facebook community. We're excited that you're here. We would love to learn more about you. You know, would you be open to jumping on a quick 15-minute call so we can better serve you, create content specifically for you, and getting on that phone, and we can use that call, that Zoom call, to qualify as much as we can in the DM. So I find that it has a lot to do with just the different business and the different preferences, and also the buyer, right? Who your ideal client is determines that as well. So it can be done in the DMs. It can be done in a connect call. It can be, you know, whatever makes sense for the business. I'm a big fan. I'm like, let's meet our clients where they're at. What do they want? How do they want to be communicated with? And let's go do that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I want to start, first of all, with you explaining what Social Sellers Academy is and what you offer, and then we're going to dive into all the sales stuff.
Awesome. So we do three distinct things at the Academy, Melissa. We train, so it is an academy by design. So we actually train sales reps or social sellers that primarily work for entrepreneurs. So they are technically employees. Almost all of our folks are employees. Some of them are contractors, but we have a really intensive program where we focus on the development of mastery. So we train live 5 days a week. So we role play, we train, we focus on mindset, we talk productivity and time management. And our goal is to, you know, that your sales reps walk away as a master of sales, having practiced their sales process over and over and over again. So that's kind of our core offer, is the education piece. And then when we started serving our clients in that capacity, we found two other opportunities to serve. One being the recruiting piece. Recruiting for a lot of people is really overwhelming, time consuming, all of the things. And let's not kid, right now, the climate is wild. There are more opportunities than there are people. So by the time you find a good person and make them a job offer, they're already working for somebody else. So we're actively recruiting. And then the final piece of what we do is organic lead gen, which is doing basically what my sales team, my full-time sales team does for me and for my business, but doing that for our clients. So that's really designed to serve that entrepreneur who maybe doesn't have the consistent revenue or isn't ready for the employee, but they know that they want to insert the human to human connection aspect into their sales process. So it's kind of three different arms, but all taught under a program we call, or a system we call, Daily Sales on Demand for CEOs, which is designed to do just that, you know, build a pipeline in your business so you're in a position to close business every single day.
And I love it. And I know that your academy has an amazing reputation. And I want you to talk to us about when you're ready for a sales service. And if you're not ready at that point, how you generate leads on your own. And, you know, just basically like, okay, guide through someone like me, who's total introvert, not particularly confident approaching other people and trying to sell my products without sounding salesy. You know, like for me, it's very total ick factor and very triggering. So how would you take someone like me and turn me into somebody who can sell confidently?
Ooh, I love this question. This is a good
question. I'm like your worst case scenario, hardest client.
but it's really not, Melissa. And this is where, like, everybody thinks that they're the worst case scenario. Like, I'm an introvert. I think sales is gross. I'm not good at this. I've never done this before, right? And so if you're still the entrepreneur driving revenue, you know, you're still the primary revenue driver as the leader of your business. The first thing I typically do, Melissa, is focus on reframing the relationship with sales, right? Because most of us, we feel the way we do about sales because of a way we were sold to, typically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
You know, somebody wouldn't take no for an answer. Somebody sent you a slimeball message on social media. You've got a LinkedIn inbox full of people sending you their calendar link, asking you for your time without providing any value at all. And you're like, if that's what sales is, like, I'm not here for it, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
So what we do, what I like to do, is just reframe what is selling. Right. And so my two favorite kind of thought reverses, if you will, is selling is helping and selling is serving. Like, I know you, Melissa, like, you're a genius at what you do. You are fantastic at serving your clients. You know, you have an immense amount of knowledge. And so you can take your knowledge and your expertise, you know, as an expert in finance and money and business and all those different things, and use that as a way to serve. Right. So it's about, how can I help people? How can I provide value for people? What resources can I create? And we're doing it right now, right? You created a podcast to serve your people. And so how you could use this as a social sales tool is, hey, you know, Melissa, thanks again for, you know, being my connection here on LinkedIn. I just recently recorded a podcast all about how we feel like less sleazy about sales. If sales has ever, you know, been scary for you in your business, I think you're going to find a ton of value, right? And just really, how can we go out into the world and serve our people? And I find that the more that we do that, the more confident we become when we're like, oh, people are excited to hear my podcast. They're excited to be invited to my free workshops. They're excited to be a member of my community, right? And once we realize that by serving them, then it kind of takes away some of that, like, ill, gross, ick factor. Because I always say, like, we're not convincing anybody to do anything. Like, that to me is not what sales is about. I think our job as salespeople, and again, be it the business owner or an actual salesperson for a company, is to help people make decisions, right? To really position yourself as the trusted advisor to help that person get the result that they want, whether that includes buying from you or not.
Okay. So right. then if you find that you're giving more information out, but people are still not buying, then what kind of problem are you dealing with?
Typically it's we're giving out information without asking, right? So we have to balance the giving value and the making invitations, right? So, hey, after you share that podcast, hey, what did you think of that podcast? Awesome. Well, one of the things that I'm doing, you know, here on LinkedIn with my community is offering 15-minute audits of some kind, right? Goal setting, financial planning set, whatever you want to offer, right? Would you be open to a 15-minute, you know, no obligation conversation? I'd love to learn more about you. And if I can help give you some insight into how to best prepare for 2022 taxes or whatever. I'm making things up. As you can tell, I'm obviously not a CPA.
You know what? You're totally fooling me. You seem to be like you are. So yeah, go on.
I'm not those things. Right? But so then it's making the invitation, right? So we have to serve, but eventually we have to ask, right? But when we serve and we ask, it's here's this thing, you know, was this valuable to you? Awesome. Would you like to have a further conversation? Is this a problem that you're having? Do you feel like you have yourself buttoned up for, you know, you're prepped for 2022? Do you feel like you know where the profit in your business is going? We hear from businesses, you know, like yours a lot that this is a challenge. Is this something you would like help with? Right. So again, when we're making an invitation, it's not like, let me get on the phone and shove my products or services down your throat. It's let's have a conversation. And typically that first conversation is a qualifying conversation, meaning is this person a fit for your services? And then still there's that second, you know, that next call, which is actually a consultation. But we're always focused on, Melissa, selling the value of the consultation, meaning, yes, of course, our goal in running a consultation or a sales conversation is to sell. We would love to do that. But I still want people to feel like they got value out of the conversation, even if they didn't buy. I still want them to feel like, okay, I learned something new. I have some action items, because just because somebody said no the first time doesn't mean they will next time, right? Just because it's not a fit right now doesn't mean it won't be eventually. And I think that's the difference of the way we teach sales is no is okay, right? Like not everybody is ready to buy right now. Not everybody's a fit right now, but we focus on the long-term relationship. And so for me to break it down simply, we engage with the people in our communities. We offer them value. We make invitations to help them. If there's a fit, if they're qualified, we invite them to a sales conversation. And in that sales conversation, we determine, are we a fit to work together now, later, or never? And all of those things are okay.
Nice. So when you are looking at sales people, what top qualities are you looking for?
Great question. So there's a few different things. And this is sounds super obvious, but it gets missed sometimes when we're looking for a social seller specifically. You have to find somebody who likes social media. And I know that that sounds really silly, but oftentimes, you know, I think of a client of ours in Social Sellers Academy. She met a woman who was selling jewelry. She was like the jeweler at Pandora. And she was working with, she was like, oh my gosh, I love this woman. And she recruited her to come work for her. She was a great salesperson, top performer at Pandora, excellent at retail sales. Discovered that, Melissa, she hated spending 40 hours a week on Instagram. Like she was just like, no, like I can't spend this much time on social. And so just being mindful of that one. And then I'm also looking for things like what fits with your mission and vision and values as a company, right? Like one of our primary values as an organization is growth mindset, right? Like for us, we do book clubs all the time. Like we're podcasters. We love to listen and learn and all the things. Like the answer to the question was like, when was the last time you read a personal development book? The answer is never, then, or like 6 years ago, they're not our people, right? So like, how do we make sure that people align with our values as a company? So it's, do they like social media? Do they align with our values as a company? And then, you know, can they operate in the type of environment you have, right? So for us, we're rapid growth startup phase, right? So I need you to be able to quick change direction quickly, right? So I'm looking for somebody that's like, you're head down in this project. And then the next 2 hours, you've got to pivot into this project and get this thing done and get these 12 things done. Like, how can you pivot quickly? Can you keep up? And then with salespeople, we always want people who are money motivated. We like people who are competitive. If I could hire athletes only, I would, but apparently that's against the law. But I really love athletes. I am a former athlete. I was a college athlete, but just that like head down, work hard, do the work, totally coachable, you know, wants to grow, wants big opportunity, sees the benefit of being part of something new and fun and exciting and impactful. Like I'm always looking for more of that fit of the culture and the person and the mission and the vision and the values. And then we can train for skill, right? And yes, of course, I do run a sales training organization, but there are other resources out there, right? There are books, there are courses, there are so many different ways to learn sales that I want the right person who's the right fit, who can handle living on social media, who can share the value of what we do so they can go out and engage with others.
How long have you been in sales?
I started my sales career in 2004.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier that you didn't think you would end up in sales, correct?
It was not by design. No, I started my career, I graduated college thinking I would work in like PR and advertising. I actually interned in a PR firm when I was in college, and I thought that public relations would be what I would do. And I moved from New York, which is where I went to college, to Florida. And there were not a lot of PR firms in Orlando, Florida at the time. And so I wound up getting a sales job. And I learned that PR and sales were basically the same thing. But if you got somebody to say yes in sales, you got paid commission. And I was like, okay, cool.
More motivation there.
Yeah. I mean, as a broke college kid, I was like, game on, you know, I was like, this would keep me from having to wait tables at night with, you know, my $30,000 a year job. So that's how I started. And I wasn't good at it in the beginning, Melissa. Like, I think that's the thing too. People are like, you're a born salesperson. I'm like, no, I am 17 years of practice salesperson. I was not born a salesperson. My mother might disagree, but I have a 4-year-old who totally was. But, you know, I was not good at it. You know, I was clunky and I was chunky and I was just, I vomited on people. I did all the things that I tell people not to do. I was probably pushy at one point or another, mirroring what somebody else was doing. And I did it all wrong, but I learned that I really liked every day looking different and I really liked helping people. And I always sold services that I felt really helped people. And that was enough for me at the time.
I guess the key is, you know, ensuring that your services are aligned with your values and, you know, you really truly believe in what you're offering people and helping them.
Yeah, absolutely. Both. I mean, obviously for you as the entrepreneur, but that's what you're looking for. Like, can somebody passionately say that your services are worth X amount of money, right? Like, that person has to believe in what you do. If they're going to go out and convince somebody else to give you $10, $15, $20, $30,000 for your services, if you're an online entrepreneur, like, they have to believe it too.
Yeah, for sure. So as somebody who, you know, absolutely still cringes, I mean, I think that you've offered us extremely valuable information and I still find like it makes me cringe. And I would definitely invest in having somebody do this for me because it's such a trigger for me. But what if I wasn't at that stage yet? And I had to go start generating those sales on my own. What kind of resources are available and what would you suggest for somebody who has no experience?
Yeah. So as far as the action items and where to find the resources, two different questions. So where to find the resources, you know, again, find somebody whose message you resonate with that teaches sales. There's a lot of people that teach sales. Everyone has a different vibe. Right? So find your person. Is, you know, if it's me, great. If it's somebody else, there's so many. I mean, go listen to books and podcasts and all the resources. You know, we have a podcast, but for me, it's find somebody whose style matches yours. So I'll give you an example. Grant Cardone is a big sales guy, right? And he's kind of a jerk. And I love that about him. I love that about him. Some people find him so cringy. Like when you say cringy, his face comes up, right?
Okay.
Like, I love his tenacity. Like, I love his, like, don't take no for an answer mentality. It's by design, right? He's a marketer. He knows what he's doing. So, but you know, so if that doesn't resonate with you, that's not the only way to do sales, right? Like, go find somebody whose sales style matches yours. Like, we live in a world where there are so many resources. Go find somebody who matches yours, which, and again, it doesn't mean my personality matches yours because we're all our own human. It's whose style matches yours. So for me, like, we're focused on human to human connection. We're focused on, you know, really solving problems, you know, business for the long haul. Like, we're not get in, get out, you know, close as quickly as possible. Don't let them off the phone without saying no. Like, that's not what we teach. We teach be okay with no. Focus on the long-term relationship. Understand the lifetime value of a customer. Be okay with the fact that it might take 6 or 12 months for somebody to say yes to you. Versus there are some people that believe, like, they don't buy when they get off the phone. They're never going to buy. So find the style that matches with yours. So that I think is important. And then where do you start? So for me, I recommend starting where you are most comfortable, right? Because you're already uncomfortable. So, like, let's not go try to learn a new social media platform when we're already uncomfortable, right? Like, if you know LinkedIn, go hang out on LinkedIn. If you love Instagram, go hang out on Instagram. If Facebook is your place, if you dig TikTok, if you like Clubhouse, like, I don't care. Go where you're most comfortable and then go get involved in the conversations that are already happening, right? So for so many of us, it's like, have to go start a conversation with a stranger. I'm like, dude, there's enough conversations happening on social media. You don't have to start a single one if you don't want to, right? Like you can just go on to LinkedIn and go through your followers and your connections. And what are they talking about? What questions are they asking? What content are they sharing? Go get involved in those conversations. Ask questions, offer insight. You know, so go into a Facebook group full of your ideal clients and answer questions, cheer people on, congratulate them on their success. Go to Instagram and go start interacting with, you know, people who are influencers in your space who have already gathered, you know, your audience of people and go get involved in those conversations. So to me, it's like, if you're still like, okay, I understand, Ryan, that I'm not ready to hire this out. I know that I have to do this on my own. For that person who is terrified of it, it's like the conversations are already happening. Just go get involved in them. And then from there, you'll develop some comfort in getting into those conversations. And then you'll start to find your people just based on conversation alone, right? You'll, oh, that person, I love what they share. Oh, that person, they're totally an introvert like me. Like, ah, introverts unite. Now we're in the DMs of like, hey, it looks like we're both growing businesses as introverts. What's your biggest tip for, you know, somebody who's newer in business, right? For an introvert, and just start conversations. But in the beginning, it's go where you're already comfortable. Don't try to learn something new at this phase. Go get involved in the conversations that are already happening. And through that, you will start to identify your people and then go find those people. I always like, I know your introverted brain is like, no, I'm going to make you go into a networking event, right? Walk into a room full of people, right? The first thing that you do as an introvert is you try to find your people as quickly as possible to pull yourself out of the middle of the room, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I want you to do on social media, right? Okay. Instagram is the big group. LinkedIn is the big place. Go find your people and be like, who can I huddle in a corner and talk to? That's what I want you to do online. And then really kind of revamp that mindset. We always like to tell our introverts that like, what if being an introvert is your superpower? Like what if your ability to build one-to-one connection and really get to know people and spend time with them individually is what makes you so powerful and what makes you so successful at sales, right? And so like, and I'm using an introvert example because that was your example, but those are the ones we usually hear. So I'm an introvert. Like, I don't really like to be the center of attention. In sales, you're not the hero, my friend. You're the guide. Your client is the hero. And so really kind of coming at it from that perspective rather than like, oh, this is so hard for me. It's the fact that I really love one-to-one connection is what makes me excellent at what I do.
That's a really, really good point. Now, would you say that there is a platform that's better than another in social media, or are they all pretty much... Find where your people are.
Find where your people are that you are comfortable, right? So again, you might say like, I know my people are on Clubhouse. I don't love Clubhouse. If I can't repurpose the content I'm creating on Clubhouse, it's just not an investment I can make in time. So I choose to not spend time there, even though my ideal clients are there. So spend time on the platform that you are most likely to show up on consistently, where your ideal clients are. And I say like in 99% of instances, it will work on any platform unless your audience is very specific. Like I'm like, if you're looking for Fortune 50, like executives, you're gonna have to be on LinkedIn and Twitter, right? But if you're like, hey, I work with business owners, or I work with small business owners, or I work with brick and mortar business owners, or I work with moms, like it's pick the platform you're most comfortable on.
Love it. Now, would you say that if, you know, you had an entrepreneur who's struggling with the sales, okay, first of all, do you see that often? And secondly, would that have something to do with their offer or their skill set level in selling?
Yes, we see it all the time. And it depends is the answer to the question is it the offer or is it the sales itself? And it's going to depend on where in business they are. Right. So for instance, say like you are an accounting professional and you've sold your services primarily one-to-one through networking, through referrals, you know, without having to do any of the stuff we've talked about here today. But now you're trying to sell one-to-many, right? You're trying to, you know, and in that instance, it might be a little bit of both of like, we need to polish the offer and we need to polish the sales process. But I find most of the time, It is usually the confidence in which we sell and not the offer itself.
So true.
Right?
So true. Yeah.
I've come across very few like really bad offers because most of the people that I'm blessed to work with and around genuinely care about getting their clients results, right? Like they're not building shoddy offers just trying to make a buck. Like, in fact, I find people typically undercharging for their offers or putting too much stuff in their offers versus the other way around. So most of the time it is just our confidence in talking about our offer, our confidence in telling the result, our confidence in being able to communicate that clearly.
It's like dating.
Amen. 100%.
totally is. I've heard that, you know, comparison before, but I really, really got it today where, you know, because another thing is I am talking to my son who's off at university now. He's 19 and he's, you know, trying to get the attention of a girl. So I see a lot of this, you know, correlation here. It's all about confidence. So 100%. if there was something that you really want to drive home to listeners from this conversation today, what would that be?
I have two things for you. One, you have to reframe the relationship with sales. Like you have to. If you want to have a successful business as an entrepreneur, you will have to learn to sell. And you're like, but Ryan, you just told me I could hire somebody. Yes, but the only way the person that you hire will be successful is if you do it first, right? So you have to learn to reframe your relationship with sales. That is the first thing. And then the second thing I will tell you is just go talk to people. We're so distraught about where and what and what do I say and who are my people and am I going to do it wrong? And like, just go talk to people, build relationships, solve problems. I say that that's what sales is, right? It is meeting people, building relationships, and solving problems. And if you show up from a place of service and you get really good at figuring out what questions to ask to pull out, does this person qualify or not for my stuff? It can be very simple. I know that we've made it overly complicated. We feel like the internet has made it harder. I feel like the internet has made it easier because I can talk to billions of people without ever leaving my house, right? Like I don't have to get in the car, drive to the networking event, you know, get the cup of coffee, have the awkward conversation about the weather. Like I get to skip all of that, right? Like, and just go serve the people I want to serve. So go talk to people. So reframe your relationship with sales if you have some drama there, and then just go talk to people and you will be amazed at the opportunities present themselves when you're just meeting new people and solving problems.
You know, I'm really grateful that we had this conversation because, you know, even like I find I've been kind of following you for a while. And I find even today, like every time I listen to you talk about sales, you make it sound so attainable. You break it down. It's easy, or it sounds easier. And, you know, I kind of feel like I have just overthought it. You know, I've made myself anxious, just overthinking, instead of just saying, okay, I just need to be myself and put myself out there.
Right. Because right. Your people are going to love you. There's going to be people that don't love you, but there's going to be people that love you. And that's, yeah. I mean, that, like you said, it's like dating, right? Like everyone, so much drama about what to say to the girl or what to say to the guy when it's like, let's start with, hi, my name is. Like, let's start.
Break it down.
We're so worried about the like, no, I will not go to dinner with you. That like, we don't even get the hi, my name is out of our mouth, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's so true. Just, you know, start from the beginning and see what happens.
Amen.
Yeah. So this has been an absolutely fantastic conversation. And I know people are going to want to reach out to you. So where would they find you?
Yes. Thank you for that opportunity. So you can visit our website. It's Daily Sales On Demand for CEOs. I know it's a mouthful. DailySalesOnDemandForCEOs.com. We have a podcast under the exact same name and we are on all the social platforms. So you can find us on Instagram at Social Sellers Academy, or you can personally connect with me on Facebook or LinkedIn. And it's Ryan with two N's, Dowdy.
Awesome. And we are going to leave the links in the show notes. So you guys can always go grab the links there. So any parting wisdom for us?
No, just go talk to people. Go have fun. Make it awesome. Fun. When you have fun, people will want to talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Business Society podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with someone you think would love it. Until next time, I'm Melissa Houston. And never forget, nobody will ever care about your money as much as you do. So never give your financial power away.